First things first, we're going to try to finish up the sugya that we had started yesterday about the kasha zaman and the chatzon. Again, when, in the end of the last year, we gave a 5 seconds summary of chazar what we did yesterday. So we're not doing that again right now. We're going to jump straight into minchas chinuch and try to be mitari to that that idea.
Did we get to remind yesterday? I think we left off with the Ritva.
The Ramban was similar enough to the Ritva that okay. For time constraints we're going to leave that. I made a statement before.
Who was what?
Shagatari. So I made a cheshbon before in the Beis Medrash. We do not have anywhere near enough time to cover all the things I wanted to cover during this summer over here. If we were to do one set of Maamar Kamos every single day, we still wouldn't have enough time, and that's not going to happen. So I want to A, move a little bit faster, B, we're actually going to start skipping, I think, to some of the more major things. We're not necessarily going to go in order anymore. But at least today, one more last in order thing, and then we're going on. So let's go. So the Minchas Chinuch over here said like this. We saw yesterday a klal given over by the Rishonim over here, and not by the Afikayam, but by all, basically all the other Rishonim. But the Gemara towards the end of that Beis Amid Aleph at the line of Bein and Kash Hazam Lamaas Veleka is establishing a principle about that there's no Hazama Lechatzon. You can't give a halfway Hazama. Hazama always has to be a complete unit. All the ramifications that you were trying to give over to the Nidon have to be done to the Eidomim. In order for the Hazama to be a proper Hazama. Okay? We had a lot of examples where that came up yesterday. Lo Velo Lazaro was an issue of Hazama Lechatzon. That's not going to work. We had the question that the Rishonim brought up of why it is that sometimes you'll have to give Misa but not give Mammon. All these considerations about Hazama Lechatzon. So there's a very, very famous Minchas Chinuch that comes up over here that asked the question that you saw that we're going to try to address the question and how that's relevant to the concept of the Ein Hazama Lechatzon. So Minchas Chinuch asks basically like this. This is one of the famous Minchas Chinuch, mainly famous. A lot of times in yeshivas doing Elozman, they'll learn Makos. It's a quick Zman, and you'll spend time doing the first parak of Makos, sort of like we're doing right now. And it always works out that Elul has the, what do you call it, which is because Elul is towards the end of the summertime, when you have the summer parashas of the Shoftim and Kiseise that are there, where the din of Yerni Dachas comes up. So this Minchas Chinuch is one of the famous things that everyone does in the beginning of a year in yeshiva. So please remember it if you're ever learning Makos doing Elul. You'll know this Minchas Chinuch, Parshas Shavua, and Makos combined. Minchas Chinuch asks the kasha like this. There is a sheet of the Rambam. Not everyone agrees with this, and it's not clear in the Gemara's either, but there is a sheet of the Rambam that tells us that when you have an ear and idachas, again, I'm assuming we know what these things are, if we don't, please stop me and we'll demonstrate. When you have an ear and idachas, the rule is that once the robe of the people are old day voted, so you're going to kill out the people in the city. The Rambam is mechadish that the innocent wives and children of the people who are over the Avodah Zarah are also subject to the Chi of Misa of the Ir HaNidachas. In other words, your mamash killing everybody there. It's not just the over the Avodah Zarah themselves that you're wiping out once Rove of the city is there, but your mamash wiping out the city. Okay, that's the Shita of the Shita of the Rambam. And again, all the details of Ir HaNidachas, who, what, when, we're definitely not getting into now. So if those are any of the questions, then I'm not going to answer them. Is that okay? Oh, you were asking anything else? Okay, shoot. What was that?
Well, I was just cashing out. I don't know how I'm cashing out anything. But when you kill the wives and children, and you kill the wives and children, but they are part of the family that has, not just they go on with the men, but they themselves are,
That's what I meant by questions within these sugyas of the Yoni Dachas we're going to leave out. In other words, suffice it to say, we're dealing with, I'm going to call them innocent people who didn't do anything wrong, but the Rambam sheet is nevertheless, they are getting killed along with their families, along with their husbands, so to speak, that were there, and not every wife or children would necessarily be subject. Again, they're with the sugyas in Sanhedrin, we're not going to be, we're not going to be focusing on some a little bit at the end of Sota also. The Minchas Chinuch comes along and asks a very, very simple kasha. Again, if you're speaking about a chi of misa over here, by definition that means that there was somebody, and this is what Yerni Dachas works in any chi of misa, somebody had to be meyed, somebody had to testify that we know, again, I'm just going to point my finger at you, but don't take offense to this, we know that you, whoever the you is that are out there, we know that you were obeyed Avodah Zarah, okay? The whole concept and the process of the Yerni Dachas is that we're convicting individual after individual, and at the end of the day, when we realize, oh my gosh, rove of the people in this city were over the Avodah Zarah, the city is flipped into an Ir Hanidacha. But that means, procedurally, every single person, one after one, had to have had a legitimate kosher edus being leveled against him. He himself would have been convicted of his own independent individual chiyuv misa for the Avodah Zarah, until you end up to that sum total, eventually, of rove of the city. Ask the Minchas Tzlinach, that's impossible to do. Why is that impossible to do? Because every edus about the Avodah Zarah of the husband or of the father, the male in that family, is essentially an Eidus She'i Ata Yachol Lehazima. Why is it Eidus She'i Ata Yachol Lehazima? If I found out that the guy's an Eid Zomim, well, what am I going to do? He, by giving his testimony, would have been Mechayiv, the wife and the kids, and he says, well, we're going to kill the Eid Zomim's wife and kids, that's love of the Lazar, that's the little sugi that we're having over here. It's Eidus She'iyat Yochol Lehazima. So Tosas wants to try to work through the first Tosas, excuse me, the Mechatzino wants to try to work through the first Tosas over here in Makkah. Is it really Eidus She'iyat Yochol Lehazima? What about by Ben Grushi? See, when he gets the Makkah, yada yada yada. And basically, as he saw, when he learned the Mechatzino, he points out that the answers of Tosas about the exceptions to the rule of Eidus She'iyat Yochol Lehazima or not don't really apply in this kind of a case. And as the Mechatzino, excuse the expression, pats himself on the back over here and says in the very last line, Hukushya Atsuma Vinifla Visyata Deshmaya Karish Baruch Hu, help me ask a very intense, amazing a question over here that it does not give an answer to. And the truth of the matter is, it is a very good question. And we seem to have a major question mark right now on the technicalities of how the Aegis against the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Irin Dachas is going to work. Jenna, what's up? Good enough. The word is ADOs, but yeah. But ADOs is certainly fine for our purposes, yeah.
So once you have enough of a husband, then afterwards the wife comes in. But it wasn't because of the individual ADOs that the husband gave.
Okay. So it was, so to elaborate, and therefore what? And therefore what?
Therefore it's not ADOs, she has the
alkalizing. Because
she's not being killed based on killed ADOs.
But rather.
Rather on the fact that Rome is the Am.
Okay, so let's start working. Very good. Let's start working with your idea over here. So a passable teretz to answer up with the again what is a kushya atzuma v'nifla in Minchas Chinuch's own words. It could be along the lines that you're suggesting over here. Very, very good. Once again, our main man in Makos is going to be
sure.
There you go. Right, has an idea to try to answer the Minchas Chinuch, but we have to develop it a little bit. You know, so we have to work through some of the ideas. What we can suggest is like this, but this is more or less coming from Rabbi Shmuel with a number of additions here. Going back on some of the svaras that we have been learning yesterday back and forth to explain how we can avoid the problem here. You could suggest as follows. Again, the Rambam is the one who's holding that the wives and kids are being killed despite their lack of involvement in the Avodah Zarah. So, what you want to be able to say is exactly like Jenna pointed out, right? The first line of attack is to try to separate the chiyuv misa of the women and children, right, from the chiyuv misa of the men. In other words, that resulting from the fact that he's chayiv misa and that causes a chiyuv misa over to them, as much as there's to use your lashon again, a separate mechayiv on those women and children to come along and kill them. In other words, let's try to split away. My eidos is being geared, is targeting the man who was the Oved of Avodah Zarah, right? And the Hazama that I'll eventually get if I end up becoming an Eid Zomer is going to be the Misa because I wanted to try and kill him. The women and children are going to be killed also. That's true, but that's not because of the direct result of the Eidus that I gave. Just a contrast to make it clear, right? By the Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, the reason why my kids would have ended up being Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, or why the Nidon's kids would end up being Chalalim, is because if I'm testifying about him, by definition, his kids, right, being his children, are going to be Chalalim as well. My Eidus is targeting all of them. That's the Messiah. That's the reality, is that the Eidus is affecting all of them. Over here by the Yeroni Dachas, that's not really true. My Eidus is on him. And as you pointed out, at some stage in the game, right, it might end up being that other people were affected by that, but that was not the actual target of my edus at all. Now, if, and here you have to now move on a little bit, if you're going to make me into an eid zomim, but here we're going to see now a shtickle machlokas, that's what it's going to become important. If you're going to make me into an eid zomim, okay, in the Iri Dachas case, so what's going to happen? I'm going to get killed, okay? My wife and kids are not going to get killed because, because lo velo lezaro, okay? Now why isn't that a problem with ein hazama lechatzon? So the answer again is very, very simple. Why is that not a problem with ein hazama lechatzon? Because not really in the primary target. In other words, yes, it's true that more would have happened to him than would have happened to me right now, but the bottom line is, right, is that the Azama is based on the edus that I was giving, and my edus, what I was targeting, what I was trying to accomplish by me, was killing that person. The fact that other things were involved is not going to be bothering me at all. Now,
But
the ma'isa, there was something again. The point, as you were explaining before, is that we're focused on the edios that are building up to the Yerini Dachas. In other words, just to make things simple, if there were five people in the city, okay, which that wouldn't be Yerini Dachas anyway, but just to keep the example nice and short over here, right? When guy one became an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and then guy two becomes, and guy three, right, and I've already now had Rove of the city being Ovid Avodah Zarah, right, but it's the sum total of guys one, two, and three. So any Hazama is not on the Ironi Zakat, it's on the first set of eight, then the second set of eight, and the third set of eight, as individuals.
Oh, okay.
Now, the one Nakuda, though, that we have to remember that we learned that yesterday, and then we'll take the questions, but then we want to move on a little bit over here, is that Lechora, the Ritva that we saw yesterday, and the Ramban that you guys have learned as well, are going to argue strongly on the explanation that we had just given. Although, as we said, a Teret that looks simple to us, but we have to remember it's not necessarily so true. Think about the question that the Ritva and the Ramban had raised on the idea of Ein Azam al-Khatsan. What did they ask yesterday? Let's go over the question one more time. Yeah, speak. Okay.
So that we say that she gets chiyus misa, she doesn't get the edim, the edim zomim get misa, they don't have to pay the ksuba that would have been.
Yes, there is good.
That's the ritva on the ramban that it should be the chatzon because you're not paying the entire thing. You have to pay the ksuba.
Okay, right. That's the zom of the chatzon. Now you stop, and whatever the terrors they give is not going to be relevant to us right now about the kimayu the rabbi me neighbor. But that was the question itself is what's important for us now. What are they asking over there? So what they're basically saying is, despite the fact that in that case, you have two totally distinct, two totally separate mechayivim, the reason why I'm chayiv the ksuba is not the same reason why I'm chayiv me. So there's two separate issues that are going on over there, two totally separate chiyuvim. But nevertheless, the way the Ritva had explained, and I had been asking yesterday, and clearly understood, yes, or today also, I guess the Ritva understands the same thing, that for me to give only the misa, right, to that eid zomim, and not address the fact that there would have been a chi of mamon, that she would have been losing money had I not been caught as an eid zomim, that should have been a zama lachatzot. Now, wait a second. Let's think about our explanation over here of the sheet of the Rambam, right, to answer up the Minchas Chinuch question. What we're suggesting the Rambam is as follows, right? The fact that I had given eidos on the men, right, is going to be, I'm not going to care about the fact that there was another result, another ramification that comes up as a result of that eidos, because the bottom line is, this is one issue, I have the chiyuv misa that I wanted to give to the man, and yes, it's true that as a result of my eidos, there would have been a chiyuv misa to everybody else, but that's a chiyuv misa to them, that's, as you phrase, that's a separate thing, that's a separate issue. I can do a full hazama to the man by killing him, despite the fact that I'm leaving out and ignoring the chiyuv that they had as a result of my eidos. Now, according to the Ritva, right, that you look at the Misa and the Mamon as being a Hazama unit, and you can't have Hazama l'chatzon, you can't leave one of those punishments out, the Chor, they wouldn't have agreed with this idea over here. If the bottom line is, my Eidos is killing somebody, now that's what it is, there is a result that comes out, because again, had this husband not been involved, his wife and children wouldn't have been getting killed, my Eidos is affecting them, that's clear. That's clear in the Irani Dachas case, my aid is affecting them, but we're trying to explain in the sheet of the Rambam, yeah, but the Rambam would have said, that's not a Zama L'chatzon. Two separate Mechayivim like that is going to be okay to have a Hazama affecting and addressing only one of those Chiyuvim. A Hazama L'chatzon would have been if you're dealing with one direct punishment, like the Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, to say you, but not your kids, when the kids are totally related to the father. That already is called the halfway thing. So now, what comes out at the end of this particular topic is, if you want to assume that the explanation of the Rambam sheet is correct, that you have a very basic machlokas now, how to understand what the idea of Hazama L'chatzon is all about. Let's just summarize and then we'll take the question just to make them let it end on a clear kind of a note. According to the Ritva and according to the Ramban, okay, we'll even call that the mainstream school of the Rishonim, any time there are multiple ramifications and multiple outcomes of my Eidos, in order for Hazama to be legitimate, you have to give the Eid Zomim every single result, every single ramification of his Eidos. Other than that, you have Hazama L'chatzon, which is not going to be counted as Hazama, and they get off scot-free. Even if the two things are totally unrelated, you have to give everything that he would have been giving to the other person. We suggested today within the sheets of the Rambam that the Rambam, again, this became the Rambam sheet in order to avoid the question of the Minchas Tzinach. We're not going to find this in any particular words of the Rambam. It's not Hilchos Eidos, it's not in the Dinam of Azam. It's an answer that might be forced to be able to, that we might force into the Rambam's opinion in order to be able to make this sheet to work over here. We want to try to suggest that the Rambam is arguing on that, and the Rambam is going to hold that you don't really have to give all of the onshim, all of the results, all the ramifications to the eight zomim in order for the hazama to be legitimate. What you do have to do in order to avoid a problem of hazama l'chatzon is that you can't take one eidos and split the direct results of that Eidos. In other words, if you're going to have an Eidos where the Eidos itself had, let me rephrase it, the Onesh itself that I'm being given has multiple ramifications, in other words, one punishment that spreads out in different directions, you have to be able to be mekayim the full Hazama on the punishment that you're actually giving to that particular person. So, whereas, when I have, again, a person who's being accused of being a chalal, chalalus extends down to his kids. Okay, the chalalus has to be able to extend down to the kids of the eight zonim. The fact that, though, when you're dealing with Yoni Dachat, if you're testifying about the man, you would also kill the wife. The wife's death, as you pointed out before, is not a result of the fact that the man is dying. It's not hereditary, we're not connecting. There are two separate chiyuvei misa that come out. Killed the eight zomim for what he did to him, and enachanami, so the wife of the eight zomim is not going to be killed, because that was a separate chiyuvei misa that existed. Yeah, now we'll take all the questions.
Right. So why don't we see this? When the eight zomim comes in,
if I'm not mistaken, I think that's basically what we're suggesting over here. In other words, the result of, let me say why it's not so pashtut, but why we're still in all saying basically that. When we discussed yesterday in the Fikayam, 100 people getting killed, that was a case where you gave 100 sets of ediyot, right? And each one resulted in a chiyuv misa on someone else, right? Over here it's slightly different, because lemaisa you're only giving one eidos, right? And that one eidos branches out and affects a number of different people. That's why there's more of a reason to think that this is looked at as one chunk as opposed to 100 different people that are getting killed. still don't know what we're coming to say is that you're right, though, basically. Since there are five people, or whatever the number is, that are chayiv mitzvah, we're going to look at them as five different issues. Yeah.
But isn't it really a... I still don't think that the Ritz... I think the Ritz and Rabban still couldn't view it as two different entities over here, because the Tav Nashim are only getting killed if it's row of the year. So if you look at each Agus by itself, so they're only aiming for that one guy. They're not aiming for the entire year. And it's to be that whoever is the 50th percent guy in the year is gonna make it is gonna push it over the line. But they're not saying, oh, this is gonna be the one that's gonna push everyone over the line. They're aiming for each one individually. So
you're still answering the question. Did I miss what you just said?
Even the Ritva and Rabban wouldn't disagree over here.
So that I didn't follow. So why not?
What we
were arguing is the Ritva and the Rabban are willing to say that when you have two totally separate mechayim, mechayim misan, mechayim mamon, that's still called kasher zomam, mechatzoin, if you don't give everything. Right? So why shouldn't it be the same thing here? That'll be kasher zomam, mechatzoin. If I take my one Eidos that's supposed to affect him, it's supposed to affect her.
Because it's grama. It's completely indirect. Bovolo Lazaro, at least it's a direct result. You have your halal, your children are halal. But this is completely different, because the only reason why the Tafanashim are chayav is not because your chayav mitzvah, their chayav mitzvah. It's because it happens to be that whoever is the 50th percent of the year is the one who's going to be mechayav the Tafanashim. But they're not even aiming at it. It's completely grumma. They're aiming for one Eidus by itself. It happens to be that they're the 50th percent. They're the role. But if not for that, it wouldn't have been connected at all.
But again, there's no separate Eidus that's given to the women and children over here. So the women and children's death is a result of the fact that I, or whoever the father husband is going to be getting killed.
But it's not.
It doesn't that connect.
It's not by every age. It's only by whoever was the rogue.
Right. Well, no. What do you mean by that?
Whoever was the last one was the one who's going to be mechayev the tafanoshim. If I'm the first guy, if there's 100 people in the year, I'm the first guy. My age is I'm the first guy.
The women and children, the people that weren't involved, don't get killed.
They do get killed. According to the Ram, they get killed.
Only the women and children, the people were involved.
Doesn't everyone get killed?
That, again, that's what I'm saying. We're leaving out all of the details over there in Yoni Dachas. But no, the Rambam sheet is the people who were involved, their wives and children getting killed.
Oh, not everyone.
Not everyone.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking family by family over here. My aid is affecting this lady, those kids, not those.
Ah, okay. Nice.
It's not when you become a Yoni Dachas put now.
Right.
Everyone
right.
Okay.
I just.
Yeah. Keep going.
The Fikayam, is he lined up with the Rambam? What's the nafkamina between the Fikayam and the Ritva and Rambam?
Where is there a nafkamina between the Fikayam and the Ritva and the Rambam? Aside from the theoretical, difference that's there? I'm not sure if there is a difference between that. In other words, is there a practical nafkamina? There's a different way of understanding it. So get that over here. I'm not sure if there's a nafkamina lamaisa that comes out. Yeah.
This might be kind of irrelevant, but how does the Zerah and Dachas ever happen? Because isn't the punishment for the order of God and the Zerah? So when does each family be killed before they can have a deal with the
So the only, that's a practical question that we'll take five, that one at least I'll answer over there, because it's not that detailed. You're right in what you're asking, but in Yoni Dachas is only going to be when you sort of find this out in one shot. In other words, it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on over there? And then you run in, and you know from the onset that you're not killing them one at a time, you're just sort of putting them like in maybe holding cell, and you're waiting to figure out, is this really going to happen? But the fact that like one guy in TNX did a Avodah Zarah, and then a week later the next guy does, and a week later you're bunking them off one by one, and then it's not like you really did have to, whoops, we have an Iridaka, we missed out. It, right, got the, okay. Now, yeah, good thing for TNX. Just as a random example, we could use any other fine Jewish community of Avodah Zarah and accuse them also, unfortunately. Now, but there is a Gemara that points out in Sanhedrin. What is the discussion? If there was ever any dachas, etc., it could be for other reasons there might not have ever been one. But, and again, Amir Tassem, there shall never be one. You shouldn't have a need for such a thing. But let's get out of here. The next sugya we're going to do now is somewhat related to what we were just discussing, which is why they come very much as a unit over here. The idea of the kasher zaman by a mitzri sheni. A very, very interesting little topic over here. Nice, short little tosis, makes you feel good. Wow, we bunked up the tosis in 5 minutes over here. So let's do that. Okay, a little pat on the back, and let's roll. Where's the going? The tosis says like this. Tosis says as follows. Being a kasher zaman v'leka. Okay, now the truth is, even the question of the tosis is a little bit tricky over here. It's not as simple as it actually seems. Tosis over here asks like this. Kasher. I have a question here. Okay, that hei chashem eidim shu mitzri sheni. If you have eidim being made, that a person is a mitzri sheni. De'enom bo'im lifstol azaro. In that example, the eidim are not coming along and passeling the children of the mitzri sheni, because the mitzri shlishi, right, is certainly allowed to marry into klal yisrael. Okay, so our eidim is just b'chlal, not affecting that guy's children in the slightest bit. What happens if I get caught as an eidzomim, right, ki'im l'poslo, it's only to passel him, and im kein nifso. If that's the case, when he's dealing with eidim about a mitzri sheni, what we should say is not that you give the Eidim Zomimim a Malkus, because we seem to have this rule in the Mishnah when Eidim are testifying about status issues, the punishment for the Zom is Malkus, and not actually doing what they were trying to do to the other person. But the Mitzri Sheni, the whole teret of this Gemara is inapplicable. Even if by Ben Gush and Chalutza, the Gemara really wanted to make the Eidim Zomim into Chalal, if not for the low below the Zaro problem, and Kash Zom on the Chesod, but Mitzri Sheni, you don't have those problems. So in Mitzri Sheni, we should end up saying, boom, the guy becomes a Mitzri Sheni, and he's not going to get Malkus. Why isn't that the case? Now the truth of the matter is the Marsha in the back of your Gemara over here has a very simple teret on Tosa's question. What the Marsha says is, you do make the guy a Mitzvah. Who told Tosa that he's not? So who says it? It's not a Gemara, not a Mishnah anywhere. You're right. So who says like that? Right? And that's the Marsha is not quite sure what Tosa is so bothered by. Okay. If you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I say it's called the Gilyoni HaShasper of Yosef Engel. They have other Cheshbonot. How does Tosis know that, based on different places in Chazal, how does Tosis know that his assumption is correct? So let's just take Tosis' assumption, though, as is, without getting into all the details of where he gets it from. Like I pointed out, there is a machlokas amongst the Achronim about the partial legitimacy of Tosis' question, but we're going to take it as a legitimate question. Why are we going to give the Adam Zomim about the Mitzvah Sheni Malkus? Why are we going to do that? Just come along and pass them. Tosis says, no, impossible. The Yesh Lomer, the Mikomakom, Ishton, Ishtelet, the Pasel, the Vyoso. The bottom line is, Tosis says, the Mitzri Sheni is going to passel his wife, meaning to say, even if that guy dies, okay, and leaving his wife as an almana, normally an almana can marry a Kohen, etc. No, this girl is not going to be able to marry a Kohen. She was married to someone who's pasel. To marry into Klal Yisrael. You marry someone that you're not allowed to marry, meaning you're not allowed to marry Mitzri Sheni, and she did it anyway, she becomes a Chalala. Or if she herself was a Bas Kohen, now, and let's say she didn't have kids, right? And her Mitzri Sheni husband dies and gets stuck in a pyramid like a mummy, whatever it is, and that woman now is no longer going to be able to eat Truma. She doesn't go back home and enjoy the Truma from her father's house. She's not allowed to do that anymore. You passed her. Tosis again feels that he's not making up a new drasha. Fairly obvious. Tosis understands, and if you notice, the Meiri happens to use this expression also a couple of times in that piece. The Meiri, you saw that the idea of lo, the lo, fill in the blanks, just means hazama can only be leveled at the guy. You only punish him. You do not do hazama in case where it can affect other people. Whether it's lo, lo, the zara, lo, the ishto, doesn't really matter. It's all the same thing. You cannot give a hazama. And this kind of a case. Okay, very nice, short, sweet little toast, but gives rise to a lot of issues, a lot of discussions, even starting from the very assumption of Tosa's question and answer, which we're going to try to analyze right after Yossi's question. Yeah.
When a musician married a woman, she's about to so she's not married about to so what he does, he said, since he, even though he violated and he married about to so when he shouldn't have, it's because he never touched her, or he said, since Mrs. Sheen was supposed to marry another ministry, therefore,
it's still kosher. Look, there's still a mitzvah shlishi, right? Yeah, the mission they ended the fourth parak in kiddushin as a din, actually, and then the third parak in kiddushin, excuse me, as a halacha. That when you're dealing with psulei kahal, you always follow the psul that's there. In other words, they have a kosher girl, but did something wrong. You marry a mitzvah sheni, the kid will have the psul. What's the psul in that case? My father is a mitzvah, but if my father is a mitzvah sheni, that means I'm a mitzvah shlishi, and I'm fine. That just ends. No matter what.
Other years?
Yeah, that's the first mission, the fourth parak in Kiddushin has a list of all the different psulei kahal are allowed to marry. They can get married, but just they have to wait a little while to marry into the Wasserman family. Right. Huh. Now, assuming you're not Egyptians or anything like that. You never know. Now, the story over here is like this. Let's take a look though at the question answer of Tosfos, and we're going to see certain things that are not so pashut that we're going to try to use now to develop a couple of machlokes. Okay, first of all, you have like this. L'chora, a person could have looked at Tosfos' question and said, I totally disagree with what you're saying. No, you're wrong. But the question is not a legitimate question. For example, okay, working a little bit backwards, but since you already saw some of the Rishonim over here, we'll use the things that you learned to be able to highlight the ideas, and I admit that I'm jumping around out of order. But let's take a look in the Ritva for a quick second to try to get the basics down. The Ritva over here on this question says as follows. The Kosu B'Tos, the Tos is right, in Me'idu Olav Shemitzvi Sheni, excuse me, Mido Shemitsu Shani Hoya, if we're gonna testify this guy was a Mitsu Shani, Shazar O Hoya Kosha, Shame Shlishi, a Filu Hochi, nevertheless, Lokin Vein Nifstala. So it says, why? A kati ikala medrash lo velo la ishto. Now filo ain lo isha, even if the guy is not actually married, but ain lachok, you don't differentiate. You don't do a zam when it can affect other people. Says the Ritva, that's not so clear. I don't agree. The Legabe Zara, when it comes to the children that the Gemara is discussing, lo velo the Zara, you can't make the guy a chalo. Shame karo shelo, you know that expression means karo shelo, there is. I threw us off. The word karo means there is leg. What that means is, though, and it's a Talmudic expression comes up in Mishnah, karo zevu, what it means is, the leg of the father means you're an extension of the father. The psul that the kids have is a direct result of the father. The father is a chalal. Chalal is hereditary. We've used that expression many, many times so far the past couple of weeks. Why is the kid a chalal? Because he picked it up from the father. So there, shayach lomer de leker kasher zaman. There it's possible to say, you can't do kasher zomim and say the father is a chalal, but not the kid, because definitionally we saw this quoted by we saw this discussed in the Fikei Yom yesterday. If you're a chalal, what's going to happen to the kid? The direct result of chalalus, intrinsic to chalalus, is that it's transferred down to the children as an extension of the parent. Avalagabi ishto, kevin to be didei miskayim shapir. When it comes to the wife, the Ritva argues, since regarding our man over here, if we were going to make the guy into an eight zomim, we would say, okay, that's legit. In other words, what was I trying to do? To pass on this guy as a mitzri sheni. So what would happen? Now, it's true that if that mitzri sheni had bio with his wife, the wife would be nifstela. But why? Why is the wife nifstela? Huh? And what happened? Okay, so what you're basically saying is, the psul of the wife is not transferred from the husband. She wasn't infected by the husband. I picked up, by virtue of my contact with you, your disease in the slightest bit. She became psul. Why?
She wasn't supposed to marry.
Because, to say it even stronger, she's psul because she made a mistake, she did something wrong, right? The bottom line is, she passed herself in that case. Why? Because you married a mitzvi sheni, right? The reason why the person is passed is a what we're going to call a mitzius that exists, but it's not because, oh, you touched me and I got the cooties and all of a sudden I become passed because I was married to the mitzvi sheni. So the Ritzvah comes along and argues over you. And by the way, let's just to make something clear, to illustrate a little bit more, right? What would you frame? What do you call her? She can't marry a Kohen because...
Chol.
She was a halala, but she's not called a. She's not called a mistress or an ashes mystery or anything like that. In other words, she, just to illustrate your point, doesn't even have the same disease that her husband just got accused of having over here. So the Ritva is coming along and arguing. I am not really sure why you think that there's an issue of a love or there's this whole business over here in the slightest bit. You can be Mekayim, as he says, Vasita lo kashizom, that's exactly what's happening. You were trying to make him a mitzvah, good. You make that guy a mitzvah as well. So in Svara, the Ritva comes along and says, I totally disagree. There's no Malkus when the Eid was testifying that the person was a mystery shaming. No, not like Tosa says. There's no love or love Zara when you get stuck with Malkus, not at all. You'll pass all the guy. What are you going to pass him? I'm a mystery shaming. You can't expect the wife. So what? It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference over here that the wife, yes, if you make me a mystery shaming, it's going to mess up my wife. That might be true, the Ritva says, but who cares? That's not going to be relevant. So what's going to happen in this case is, right, the way the Ritva is learning, yes, when I testified about the Nidon as Mitzvah Sheni, his wife would have been Nifzalus. When it comes to me, the Eizomim, you'll miss, say that I can't marry into Klal Yisrael. Whatever happens as a result of that, good. That'll end up happening. The Ritva just adds to the technical point. Yesh lomar shedinam emes. It could be what says is true because lo chilka Torah psula yuchta. Maybe we make one general rule. What the Chazal use the expression a lo plug. We don't differentiate. Anytime you're dealing with status issues, we're going to say no. There's no hazama. You just end up giving the guy malchus. What's important for us about the Ritva is the svara. In other words, according to the Ritva, there should be nothing wrong with ignoring the wife over here. We're not applying a din of lo below the ish, so you have to do something to him, but you can't do anything to the wife. No, in this kind of case, it's a totally different issue. The hazama is not being leveled, the targeting the man and his wife in the slightest bit. That's a separate issue that comes about, quote unquote, later on. Not relevant, and therefore you couldn't make the guy again in theory into an Eid Zomer. Again, and just to make something clear, because we're going to keep on speaking about the Ritva, it is true that the Ritva says in the end that he agrees with the Tosafot, but it's not for the same Svara, not for the same reasoning at all. So we do have a clear conceptual machlokis over here, even though practically there might not be such a difference. Yeah.
Well, how could the Ritva say that to make the wife halala if she didn't do matzah or didn't do anything wrong? Like, by making the guy in Mitzri, like, kashas him fine, but like, how can you say,
because if we're saying that he's not allowed to be married to Jews, and regular Jews can't be married to him, so then she has a problem right now. If she wants to stick around and like that, okay, so you do whatever you want, but we're affecting him. Your issue is your issue.
But when she married the Eid Zomem, there was no problem.
But well, now we're where there is, so now she has to decide what she wants to do.
She would be a chalala.
Right.
If he dies right now, is she okay?
If he dies right now before they ever lose each other, that's what
they do.
Like that, is she going to be okay? So that is totally a little bit in Istugio that discusses the nature of the Azama. Does the Azama go back to Lemafreya, or in Mikano Labba, etc.? But in theory, the Yalkigam, right? The whatchamacallit. So in theory, we would say from now on, and maybe in that case you'll be fine. Maybe in that case you'll be fine. Now, we were just speaking about the Ritva for the past couple of minutes. Let's focus on the Tosafot. Let's come back to what we actually just read. Now we know Tosafot is saying that there is a real issue of lo velo le'ish. You cannot give hazama over here in this kind of a case. So what's Tosafot assuming? What are the chidushim that are there in Tosafot? What's Tosafot's basic chiddush then? In light of the Ritva's argument, what is Tosafot seem to be saying here?
It's not just an extension of himself. Like, where Lazaro is an extension of the. But it's different because part of him, the children is part of him.
Okay, that part you can't argue on. In other words, there is a difference between the nature of the halalas versus what happens to the wife when the husband is a mitzvah shein. Right? That part is true. The question is, knowing what the Ritva says, what's the response to that? Is that part clear? In other words, a chala by definition is genetic, it gets passed down to the kid. You say, I'm a chala, you're affecting my kids, that's intrinsic to the chalala, right? It is not intrinsic to a guy being a mitzvah sheni that that's given over to a wife in the slightest, but it's not. Not just because he's not necessarily married, because even if they are married, it's not the mitzri-ism that's passed over to the woman, right? But what is Tosas arguing over here?
That's so sweet.
But that's exactly what we were just saying to Margaret, that's not true. But you cannot argue with the idea, that the wife is not a mitzvah, she doesn't have a psul of a mitzvah. It is not intrinsic to the eidos to making a guy a mitzvah, that his wife has to be a mitzvah, etc. She becomes puzzled because she did something wrong. She slept with a mitzvah. Nothing more than that in the slightest bit. But the Chor with those arguments is even simpler. I think we're thinking too much actually in this case. So believe it or not. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to give you credit. Let's give you credit for that. Why not? Okay. So the evidence basically just said was like this. Tosas seems to be coming along and saying that I don't really care that the nature of this eidos by the mitzvah sheni is totally different than by the chalalas. But if you have a scenario where, by a result of the hazama, I'm going to be affecting somebody else, despite the fact that it's not connected and it's not intrinsic to the eidos and all those other interesting points that the Ritva brings out, you just don't do that. That's not the way it works, right? And that's very important now to note that you have a machlokas here now between the Tosas and the Ritva. According to the Tosas, there's a rule that hazama can only affect one person, okay, is a very hard line, strict rule. That's the rule. Hazama can only affect one person. And if the hazama is ever going to infringe on somebody else who is not involved in the eidos checker, then we cannot give over that hazama. Lo velo the ishto, even by a mitzvah shein. It doesn't matter that it's not genetic and hereditary. That doesn't matter. You can't do that kind of hazama. What do you call it? Period. The Ritva is coming along and saying, no, there is no such thing as that. There's no such thing that hazama can't affect other people. What the Gemara is telling you over here by the Chalal is that when the hazama is intrinsically relating to others, then the hazama can't be administered. But the fact that there might be other people that get messed up as a result of the hazama, as long as they're incidental and not part of the intrinsic nature of the punishment that we're giving to the eighth zomim, it doesn't bother me that somebody else is going to come along and be affected. Right? That's the basic machlokas that we have over here between the Tosas and the Ritva. Yeah.
Okay.
But then we got to move it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's going to be addressed anyway. So.
What was that?
It'll be addressed.
Okay, so let's see. That's a nice job. Jen,
what's his final, Sandra's saying that it's only a Soyuz and a new Soyuz.
So again, like we said before, I think all the Ritva means by the last line is probably the way the klalim, the way the rules work, a form of a loplug. The Torah is not going to differentiate. In this particular case, we're going to say that you mess the guy up as a mitzvah shein. If there's a rule that the Gemara is learning out, that since literally 9 times out of 10, or many more times than that, out of whatever the number is, right, you cannot make the eight zomim into a puzzle, because of the cheshbon that the Gemara brings out over here. That's just the rule, you just don't do it. But but in other words, what he's really saying is, I don't like that it shouldn't be like that logically, but that's what we do. In other words, like we said before, yes, it's true that Tosas and the Ritva have the same maskan. Halacha l'maisa, right? You don't make the guy into the mitzvah shein, right? But there's a very big hazama issue that's there between the two of them, and it might come out in other cases, we're going to see as we go along, where that difference is going to be pronounced. Yeah.
Could the Ritva argue that making the wife a halala would be a result of her grammar? Like, he's charging the guy with being a mitzvah sheni. If they have the after fact, then she's a halala.
Right.
So, would it be different? If it's...
But you're asking, that is the difference that the Ritva is trying to bring out. Is that that's why, if I understood you correctly, that's why the Ritva is arguing on the Tosafot, isn't it? Was I totally miss what you said?
I think. I have to think about it a little bit.
Okay. Moving right along over here, because we're a bit on the late side. If you don't mind, I'm going to skip over the question of the Gvursari. The Gvursari, as you saw, just points out a simple explanation over here within the Tosis that he wants to claim. Yes, Tosis has a sheet over here that anytime it's Chav the Achim, anytime the Hazama is going to be doing something that's negative to somebody else, definitionally you can't apply your Hazama in the slightest bit. And that's what it called. That's the Pshat that he says over here. In the Tosafot. Now he phrased it a little bit differently. He's coming along and he wants us to claim, as he says, I'm arguing on the Tosafot. But it fits very much within the theme of where Tosafot is coming from. Right? If you look at the first line where he says, near the fire, the kushyasa meyikar lifted, the whole question doesn't get off the ground, right? And he has the same idea that Tosafot says, but he wants to make it into a more general rule. The vaday leka din hazama heisa the efshel lava chova leacherim al yidezeh. You can never have a zama if something detrimental is coming to somebody else. Vasisim lo kashya zama lo velo leacherim. And if you're going to testify that this guy was any kind of a psul, forget about his wife, the Gvura Sari says. If he's psul, means no one's allowed to marry him, so you're messing up everyone in the world. Everyone's so sad, oh my gosh, they can't marry me. Women of the world are sitting and crying. And that's chav leacherim, and you can never do a zama. So all the Gvura Sari is doing, if you think about the terrace, is basically saying the same exact thing as Tosis, just on a slightly different scale. So conceptually, right, there's no major difference that's there between the two of them. The Meiri points out something that is similar, but a bit but a little bit different than what you saw over here in the Tosis. As you know, Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Gilyan Ashas point out that Tosis' question is anyway not a totally satisfactory. Because Tosis' answer is not a totally satisfactory answer, because there are shitas in the Gemara that hold that the Mitzri Shani's wife is not Nistela. If he dies, she's allowed to marry a Kohen. She's allowed to continue the Truma. I'm sure it's about going. So what are we going to do over there? So the Meiri, who was hundreds of years before Rabbi Kiva Eger, but as you probably know, and if you don't pay attention, that is a little quick point to keep in mind, the Meiri was never available as a sefer to learn up until the end of the 1800s, it's a beginning of the 1900s even rather. It's a relatively modern sefer. It was dug away, it was discovered in the Cairo Geniza, all the writings of the Meiri. So for hundreds of years, literally for centuries, whether they were later Rishon or whether or not they were the great, the Gedolim of all the different generations, they pashut did not have access to the sefer, the Meiri. There were parts of the Meiri that were quoted in different svarim because it had been around before people stole the basic manuscripts and they were hidden away like that and got lost to the public. So there were, way back when, there were Meiris that were, what do you call, that were quoted. But there's a bigger chunk of time where the sefer was just not, so it was not available. And in our days, we have the advantage of learning through the Meiri. There's a lot of points in learning. That's why the Meiri, by the way, is very significant. Whenever you're learning any sugya, first of all, the Meiri has a lot of chidushim, as opposed to other Rishonim, which I'm sure you've noticed, fall under general party lines. You can lump together groups of Rishonim. You can even guess if you're decent enough and experienced enough in learning that these Rishonim will probably all say the same thing, and these will also all probably the same thing. The Meiri doesn't fit into any box in the slightest bit. The Meiri is always off on his own. That's like it's very, very important to read. And more importantly than that, he had an incredible knack of answering details and questions that Taka got raised by all the different Gedolim of the Doros, different problems, etc., that he already had addressed way back when. Same thing over here. Rabbi Kiva Eger knew everything that was in print. That's very, very clear from the writings of Rabbi Kiva Eger. The fact that Rabbi Kiva Eger asked a Tzorach Inyan on a Tosis that the Meiri already answered, like, why didn't he know the Meiri? Even I know the Meiri. That's because, again, it was not available. This didn't exist back in the day. The Meiri wants to say a very interesting svarad over here. The Meiri points out, as you know, right, that's a bother by that question. Okay, there's an opinion that says that his wife isn't his cell. Because the Meiri points out, what was his father? Take it away, Hanan.
The father is still, it's still a problem for the father that
he becomes a Mitzri Rishon.
The bottom line is, right, that if I'm saying this guy's a Mitzri Sheni, as he correctly pointed out, that means he's a Mitzri Sheni because the father has to be a Mitzri Rishon. You cannot ever be a Mitzri Sheni without having a father who's a Mitzri Rishon. So says the Meiri, what you have over here is a scenario where the edus that I'm giving is messing up the father. It might not go down to my kids, because the kids will be a Mitzri Shlishi, but it's messing up the father that's there. So to give, to give Hazama now to the Eid Zomim and say, we're going to make you a Mitzri Sheni, what that is a saying for sure is that my father was a Mitzri Rishon, and that already Miri says we're not going to want to do. Yeah?
But what if his father's not alive? If, obviously, if he's assuming this, he's not holding like the Rit Bo that will plug. He's saying that we are mouthfully between the two. So, assuming that, so if he doesn't have a father, then just tell me he should get mouthless. I mean, he shouldn't get mouthless. He should become Mr. Shane.
If I say one more time?
If we're under the assumption we're not like the Rit Bo that they'll plug, then obviously we are being mouthfully. So we, if his father's not alive anymore, then just tell me he should become Mr. Shane.
Why?
Because it's not affecting anyone else.
Mother.
But that's not really true. Is that really true?
Father's not alive anymore.
And therefore,
you're not affecting the father.
But the aid is, by definition, is about somebody else other than him. In other words, if you want to make me an aid zoning, right? I was making a statement that you have a family of Mitzrim, right? If you want to make me into a Mitzri Sheni, that means you have to make a statement about my ancestors also.
You're not harming your father at all.
Huh?
You're not harming the father at all.
But that's exactly what the Meiri is saying. The Eidus has to be looked at with all its ramifications. It's not a matter of practically, do I have a father that is becoming a Mitzri Rishon over here? The Eidus is about the family. And you cannot affect the family with the Eid Zomim.
Wait, you're not affecting the family.
Huh?
You're not affecting the family.
You would be, because if you can make me into the Eid Zomim into a Mitzri Sheni, right, then that means that his father has to be what?
Yeah, but in this case, his father's not alive.
But again, it doesn't matter that the father's not alive. The Eidus itself intrinsically, right, has this has meaning
shame
behind it. What?
Shame?
No, because I'm not actually applying a shame Mitzri Rishon to anyone. Like you pointed out, he's gone. But the Eidus is about their family, right? You cannot be a Mitzri Sheni in a vacuum. That means your father was, even if it's in past tense, was a Mitzri Rishon. I'm not just speaking about you, I'm speaking about them right now. And in the Eid Zomim case, it could very well be that he does have a father over there. That's with them. You can't
do
that.
The entire concern isn't about harming someone else.
It's about the Eidus. The very nature of the Eidus. That's it, right. The very nature of the Eidus is that this is relevant and going to be affecting another person that's there. So with that aside over here, we first of all, we're late over here.
We have 1 minute. Okay.
No, we don't, because there's a lot, it's not just that they're playing actually, but we want to try to hit on. Yeah, what was that?
I
haven't
eaten. It's early minutes.
Oh, there's early minutes at the night?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, we can't go over to white. Okay, there's a thing that's happening on the.
Okay.
We're gonna have to call it today because if we rush, we're gonna miss the whole. Bottom line, one very quick thing: whatever we're doing from now on within this sugya is not related to what we're just doing now. In other words, we're gonna work. We're gonna jump into the world of Achronim, who have a number of different terutim and mahalkim about the question of Tosis that are not related to this discussion we just had between the Tosis and the Ritzvah. We're actually really on to some new and exciting things tomorrow, Mr. Shem.